What's going on, you guys? It's another episode of the Bigamax Radio Podcast. Not too sure if you guys have noticed anything, but obviously there's been some changes lately as far as some of the audio that we're posting and how we're moving forward. And we are absolutely moving forward. Bigamax Radio cranking out the jams. Over 1,000 episodes have been put on iTunes, Spotify, and also available on BigamaxRadio.com. Been doing this for 10 years, and we're just getting started, baby. Before we roll into this podcast, I want to thank a few people for making this these episodes possible. Checkers over at Racetech, Chris Riesenberg, honestly, one of the best people I've ever met in the industry. Just so generous and like gives advice. And anytime I need to talk to somebody, he is always there. And of course, Racetech Gold Valves, it's basically a revalve in a box. They also do engines. So if you happen to be tuning up an engine for Loretta's, you might want to talk to the friends over at Racetech. Also want to give a huge shout out to Steve Street over at Money Inc. Those guys are a brand new sponsor of the Bigamax Radio Podcast. We're going to be doing some really exciting things with those guys moving forward. Same thing with the Shoals MX. Those guys are huge supporters of Bigamax Radio, and I'm a huge supporter of them. Those are amazing people who do amazing work down in South Carolina. Looking forward to heading down there to see Stu Baylor and the entire Rocky Mountain Red Bear Kawasaki team in short order. I want to give a huge shout out to Backyard Designs, Jared Hicks over at Backyard Designs. Him and I have been working pretty much exclusive every single week, putting together some of the marketing campaigns that they're currently doing over at Backyard. And yeah, they're making sure that the 95 machine looks fucking sick every single time that I hit the track, which isn't enough lately, by the way. So I gotta do a little bit more than that. For those who happen to be listening to this, who deal with some arm pump, that means all of you, you'd probably benefit from some flex bars from Fast Company. They also have their spoke torque wrench, which is basically, like, it needs to be in everybody's toolbox. If you don't already have one, you probably have loose spokes, because going around the wheel with a wrench or a spoke wrench, just sort of like listening for the tone and hoping that they're all going to be similar, is not quite enough. You need to go get yourself a spoke torque wrench. And yeah, they're honestly, they're so easy to use, and you keep your wheels straight and true. Speaking of wheels, John Anderson, Kristen Anderson over at WUSA. If your wheels are super far out of whack, you can honestly just go for $850, $899. You can get yourself an Edge set of wheels. They're super durable. They're lightweight. And yeah, you're gonna have your, and you can, obviously they're gonna look sick too. Like, they got all the cool colors. You got like black wheels, silver wheels, purple wheels, gold rims, you name it. They got all different colors of nipples. Haha, I said nipples. Luxon MX, no one talk about colors. They already have a ton of cool colors. Obviously, they got Kawasaki green, blue for Yamahas, Hondas, they got red, they got orange stuff for KTMs and the Austrian brands. But if I think it's about, I think it's like $200 for the anodizing. So if you have a thought, like an idea under the sun of what you wanted to get done as far as a set of triple clamps, well, you're already going to get yourself an unbelievable set of triple clamps with going with Luxon. Of course, the Club MX team uses those guys, same with the PRMX guys. If those guys are racing Supercross with those triple clamps and the linkage components, yeah, you're probably going to be able to make it around your local track with those components. We're almost 4 minutes into this thing. We haven't even talked any about podcasts. So let's get straight to it, guys. But also want to thank Moto Coating Company for supporting this podcast. Same thing with RXR. RXR Protect, best chest protectors on the market, and you can save with the discount code BigMX Radio. Save you 10% off every single one of your purchases. Heartbeat Hot Sauce, I've said it a million times until I'm red in the face from how hot the Heartbeat Hot Sauce is. But seriously, it's unbelievable. I put this stuff on breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They got all kinds of flavors. They got super hot, they got mild, they got stuff that is a little bit sweet. Honestly, if you like hot sauce at all, they have something for you, and they're available on Amazon. So you literally have no excuse not to at least try it. Is there anyone else? Oh, Jesus. We got to talk about Guts Racing. Andy Gregg at Guts Racing. No questions asked. Every single year, he re-ups his sponsorship. Honestly, that guy is one of the first people who really like spent some money with Bigamax Radio, and I couldn't be more thankful. And they all happen to have the lightweight seat foam, the seat bases and some of the nicest looking seat covers in the sport. So Guts Racing. And last but not least is We Big Apparel. Unbelievable stuff. You've seen the Smoker Cross stuff. Emig's with those guys right now. They're turning out some cool shit. Also want to let you guys know that you can save 25% with fuelclothing.com with BigMX25 at checkout. So go ahead, guys. Use the discount codes. I should put something on the website showing all of the discount codes that BigMX Radio offers. That's maybe on the to-do list for this week. But let's get to the three podcasts that I have set and ready for this week. Hope you enjoy them. Take care. Welcome to a BigMX Radio podcast brought to you by Luxon MX. And this one especially is brought to you by Luxon MX because we got Billy from Luxon MX on the podcast. It's been a while since we had him on. Actually, it's way too long. And since then, he's actually brought out a brand new set of triple clamps. The Gen 3s are available now for your bike. Let's be honest, you need your bike to be handling better than it currently does. Maybe you need some linkage components. Let's talk about it. Billy, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, not doing too bad, man. I get questions all the time about the Luxon MX product, all the things that you're capable of doing with them, as well as just the adjustments that can be made. You're basically the king of that. Take us through it a little bit. First of all, before we get through like the adjustability of the Gen 3s, tell me a little bit about Luxon MX and sort of how it's come to be. You guys have grown honestly exponentially in the last 18 to 24 months. It's been incredible to see. And yeah, glad to see it. Tell me a little bit more about it.
So the company itself started out as kind of a side project from my engineering company. I've owned a mechanical engineering firm since 2007. We do advanced analysis and design primarily of structural components. And I grew up racing mountain bikes and motocross and always wanted to do something in that industry. So the MX side of things kind of was formed as a side project. Like, let's maybe see if we can apply some of this engineering stuff to the motor world. So we started off with some triple clamps was the lowest hanging fruit of something that could be really well optimized and we could do some cool stuff with. So that started in officially 2013, 2014. And it was just, it really was a very small side project up until 2018 or so, and we were first really making some of our Gen 1 clamps. And then people started to see that we're doing that stuff and we're starting the marketing, but it was all pretty slow up until 2020, 2021, when we had our Gen 2s out. We had a good amount of pro riders sponsored in Supercross and Motocross. 2021 was the first year we sponsored Club MX with Phil Nicoletti's in the outdoors. And then 2022, the entire team, Supercross and Outdoors, and still sponsor them now, along with a bunch of fairly high-profile guys and teams. So things grew quite a bit during that time with our Gen 2 stuff, and then Gen 3 officially launched January of last year for Yamaha, and then throughout the year, dropping different fitments, KTM, Husky GasGas, Honda, Cowie, as of now.
Yeah, it's been in development and the brand is sort of like kind of slowly been building ever since that you sort of turned key on it, as far as doing the Gen 1 and then, like making some improvements or having to pivot to do the Gen 2s. When it comes to like marketing a brand, you kind of like almost spray the field as far as like the different modalities in which you choose to present the brand. Like you have some high profile guys, you have less profile guys. That are like they're still professionals in their own right, but you also do a lot of work with either Dirt Bike Magazine or I've seen you in Motocross Action. Like obviously, like you want to hit all the bases, but which one do you feel like really hits home most for Luxon MX?
It's really hard to say because it's tough to track. Like you just want to be in people's minds.
Yeah.
So they be surfing online and see Motocross Action on the website and catch one of our banners or something, or they'll see a review on there and maybe go on Vital and then we're on there, banner ad, or I'm often posting on there myself, and they'll be watching the race and they'll see Club MX spikes or PRMX or any of the other different teams or riders that have our stuff. So it's, the goal from a marketing perspective is to always be in their minds, build credibility through testing, reviews, pro riders riding the stuff. And then most of all, word of mouth, people talking about us. I mean, that's the best thing, is when a customer really likes our stuff and tells their buddies, and then it spreads.
Certainly. That's sort of my, like the model that I drive after the most, is that when it comes to, hopefully the Big MX Radio listener becomes someone who loves the brand, understands the brand, buys some Luxon MX product, and then is able to be someone who goes to they're on the tailgate after a day of riding. And not only do they have the product on the bike, but they can also speak intelligently about it. That's essentially what this podcast is for, is so that we can sort of help the audience members have that extra special information so they can be that knowledgeable person on the tailgate after a particular race. So, or practice day. So that being said, like, if you could maybe coach those people up a little bit, or what would you hope that they would say about Luxon MX as far as the feedback?
I mean, basically, I hope that their feelings are the same as our design goals, is to primarily design, if we're like a set of triple clamps, for example, to enhance the handling of the bike and the comfort. So that comes from geometry and stiffness, really. So as far as the handling, you can change offset, and that changes all sorts of variables. But you can, just to keep it short, you can change offset to tune the handling of the bike for a particular track, riding style, rider, etc. And that changes the geometry. From a stiffness perspective, we generally want everything as stiff as possible, except in the front to back direction. So that is giving you better steering precision, better feel for the track. And then the front to back, we tune that stiffness for comfort. So that's where you're getting the absorption of chop and bumps and that sort of thing. So the end result is a set of clamps that makes the bike handle better. They're lighter than stock. They're more comfortable. And they look cool. We also have lots of adjustability options for handlebar position. So again, that's a comfort thing, tuning the bike to the rider. So it's really a way to customize the handling of the bike for each individual rider.
So when it comes to engineering a triple clamp and to not only be portionally like stiff on those types of the pressures that get put on it, but also be flexible front to back. What goes into that? How do you determine where to put material, where to take material away, how to support that? I don't know why you give away the secret sauce here, but there's a lot of work that goes into that. And I'm sure you're always amazed how many people with mechanical engineering degrees are on Vital.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of work in analysis for this stuff. So the typical approach by most companies, if not all companies, especially aftermarket, is to kind of guess and check with copy stock design, maybe change something a little bit and build it and go ride it and see what it feels like. And then take some notes, go back, change something up again, repeat. And that's not wrong. It's just incredibly inefficient and not an ideal way to approach things. So that's where our engineering background comes in. We do a lot of computer analysis, finite element analysis, structural analysis, to predict what the stiffness changes will be from different changes in geometry, layout, materials, etc. And we can actually run an optimization routine where we tell the computer, here's what you have to work with to show us what the best design is for these goals. So we do a lot of that, what would be manual back and forth testing, all on the computer in a matter of hours, days, months, rather than years.
Wow.
Take to achieve the same thing. So once we skip through 90% of that testing, then we actually make the prototype, stick it on the bike and ride it and get the real track feedback from what those changes made. And then maybe go back and forth and adjust it a couple times, but we shave off a bunch of time, end up something a lot lighter, a lot stronger, just better all around than what you could with any other technique.
Fair enough. And yeah, like, and there's a lot to be said about being able to streamline those things to get to where you're give yourself a best chance of being successful, finding a feel that a rider is going to like, especially because, conditions change. No 2 days are entirely the same when it comes to actually riding the motorcycle. And a lot of times, do you ever have a like basically what the computer is saying is either different or slightly askew from what the, maybe a rider's feedback, might be, or is it, does it allow you to sort of find a tighter window in which you're able to make, some small changes?
Certainly the tighter window. The computer's not wrong unless we set it up incorrectly, which
okay.
Really good at this. So we just don't, we just do it right.
Yeah. Kind of your job.
The thing we don't know is if we change, say, the stiffness of a triple cam, say 2%, how much does that change the feel on the track?
Okay.
And that's where the track testing comes in, because the computer can't tell you that. So I have an idea of what that feels like just because we've done it enough times. We know what the change is on the computer versus what the track testing feedback is at this point. When we first started out, we didn't have any idea, of course. But now I got a pretty good idea of what that is. But still, when you come out with an all new generation of clamp and there's a lot of changes from the previous gen, you do your best job based on what you know already. But you do know the stiffness change that you've made. And then you give it to the test riders. I write it myself, but give it to a bunch of different people, and we gather all that feedback, interpret it as best we can, because that feedback's never perfect either. And then reapply whatever changes we want to make from that to the model, and then just iterate on until we get our product that we release.
Fair enough. So, people fell in love with the Gen 1s. They were even more excited about the Gen 2s. And I found out today that the last brand new set of Gen 2s rolled off the showroom floor, so to speak, over at Luxon. Like, take me through the evolution of the products themselves, the adjustability of the product that you create. Especially on the triple clamp side of things, is pretty revolutionary in the fact that you and I spoke on off air that buying a set of Gen 3s, you're essentially getting four sets of clamps.
Yeah. So just to hit the high points from each generation. First off, we've never made a set of clamps that looks like just a stock set of clamps that's machined and anodized red or whatever, which is pretty typical of the industry. If you look around, most aftermarket clamps are just copies of stock or very close to that, machined and anodized a pretty color. We've never done that. Our first generation clamp was driven by this topology optimization process. So it looked very different than stock or anything else out there. And that was, Gen 1 was focused around KTM and then eventually Yamaha, which have two very different designs. So the material layout was vastly different from what's around. And we learned a lot in that process. The clamps are much lighter than stock and stronger than stock. Flex characteristic was better. But there was still a lot of things that we wanted to change. So for Gen 2, we went with a split lower clamp. We refined the optimization process, made a bit more optimized design so it was even lighter. Better flex character, and that's primarily means it's stiffer in all directions except front to back. We tune that in a little bit more. For Gen 3, we took everything that worked in Gen 2, but then added much more adjustability for bar position. So Gen 2, we had two positions front to back that you could be in, and then a few riser options. So you had four different height options. Three different height options. So that gave you six possible bar positions. For Gen 3, we now have six positions front to back and four height options. So that gives you 24 positions that are possible. So that'll fit everyone from a really short dude to a really tall guy comfortably where they want their bars to be. So that was a big thing. The other big thing for the Gen 3 was adjustable offset on the Pro version. That was like you're saying earlier, you get one set of clamps, but you're really getting four because there's four different offsets that come with it. So if you can use Pro riders use the same clamps that they do in Supercross that they do in outdoors. They just change the offset. And within that, they can adjust for different tracks. So say a 21 millimeter offset on a really tight Supercross track. If they go to Daytona, they'll switch that up to 22, maybe even 23. Outdoors, they'll be at 23 or 24, depending on how fast the track is, track conditions. So it makes it really nice to be able to make that adjustment without any additional cost.
For sure. And also for the teams that you support, this also allows a team like Club MX to be able to have product that fits not only a Jeremy Martin, who was a big portion of product testing and development on the Gen 3s, but also a guy like Garrett Marchbanks, or even honestly, Phil Nicoletti. Like, he's not a small guy by any means either. He's probably upwards of 180 pounds. He's about 6 feet tall, maybe 6'1". Not only do you have to have product that is adjustable for different body styles, but also just different riding styles as well. Guys who are a little bit more compact when they ride. Some guys are a little bit more, they're like me, they're all arms and legs. The adjustability is offering, being able to catch a bigger net of people who are going to ultimately be comfortable with that same product.
Yeah. I mean, to your point there, everybody's a little bit different. And people are constantly asking what offset should I ride or where should I put my bars? And I don't really have a great answer. I can tell you what a lot of people like, but
yeah,
actually put it on and try it and then try a different position. You don't really know until you do it for yourself. But we give you that option with our Gen 3 stuff. You can do it at no cost.
Yeah, honestly, like it's kind of funny that someone would sort of ask that without sort of like, obviously you're obviously more in the know than someone who's a complete layperson in that. But like, that'd be like me asking you, what kind of shoes should I wear to go running? Like, well, I don't know, you find something that fits. So it feels good. Like, obviously don't run in a pair of work boots, but like, aside from that, like it's about finding that feel that allows you to be most comfortable. If you're comfortable, you're going to be faster. If you're comfortable, you're going to be safer. And all that kind of comes together. I like a really stiff feeling front end. I don't like when the front end feels wallowy or that there's a lot of movement. I find those characteristics to be very distracting. Like I almost like, it almost sort of triggers like a, I'm always trying to like, if I find the front end is really soft, I feel like I'm always trying to save it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not a talented tester, but that's at least the feedback that I can give when it comes to like a sort of a front end feel. What sort of feedback have you received from some people who have used the product? And also, I dare to ask, who has been maybe the most impactful and most accurate tester? Because I know there's some guys I don't want to single them out, but like Aaron Plessinger. Admittedly, not a great tester. He doesn't know what he's feeling or like he's going from one to the next, isn't as much help as somebody else who can really pick things apart.
Well, to just back up a little bit with your talk about the stiffness and wallowy front end.
Yeah.
And,
I'm good at rambling, by the way.
Yeah. It's, so you mentioned you don't like a soft front end.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the biggest issues I have in communicating to people is that stiffness is not just soft or hard or stiff or flexy. It's a direction too.
Okay.
So you can't just say something is soft and it's not to pick on you, but everyone does this. There are very few people I've seen who've gotten it right where they talk about directional stiffness. So that's why I say we try and make our clamps as stiff as possible in all directions except front to back. And some of those directions are more important than others. Torsionally, like turning the bars, if you're really flexible in that direction, you can imagine if you turn the bars, but it's so flexible, the wheel still stays in the direction it's headed until it catches up with the bars.
Right. So
that gives you unpredictability when you're riding, kind of wallowy, terrible feeling. So we want to maximize that stiffness. So when you turn the bars, the wheel turns right with it. There's no unpredictability. You get a more planted, connected feeling to that front tire. The other directions are similar, except front to back. You want to balance that, because that's a trade-off between some of that wallaway feel and comfort. But that's the direction most all of your comfort is coming from. So our Gen 3 Pro clamps are actually adjustable in that direction. We have braces for the lower triple clamp to tie the bolts together. And you'll see most of the fast pro guys running those. Those guys are the ones that are really pushing things to the limit, really putting a lot of force on things. So like Jeremy Martin and Ken Roxon both get feedback that the front end is a little bit wallowy and wants to wander in big G-out situations on like a supercross track, or whoops, when things are really moving around. So they wanted it a little bit stiffer front to back. So just that change of putting that bracket on the hitch bolts stiffens it up enough front to back that feeling goes away. It does come at the expense of comfort, though. But for those guys, they don't really care.
That's the last concern for them.
Yeah. But for the vet rider or most fast guys, they don't want that. Like Moseman, Josh, he's fast enough to qualify for Pro Nationals. He does every year. He doesn't like those races because it takes away comfort. He's too stiff.
Yeah, no, he's really dove headlong into the vet life. Like, didn't put on a lot of weight, but like he went from like 2018 full on supercross guy to like, yeah, he works at, like, obviously he's still super fast and all that fun stuff, but he's embracing the vet life, and I have respect for it. I've been living that life for quite some time. It's interesting to hear as far as the feeling that a guy like Jeremy or Ken would be getting coming into like those G outs that are like basically only supercross jumps really like produce. Like, you're not going to see that on like a national track or even like your local track, unless you're like hitting a jump so fast. If I'm hitting a jump that fast, I'm probably crashing on the other side of it. So
they're still getting into situations where they like that on the outdoor tracks too.
Oh, really?
They're just pushing things so much harder than the normal person.
No, so, I know. Honestly, like when I look at a pro's bike after they ride a 30-minute moto, like, it literally has more wear and tear on it in that 30 minutes than I put all summer. Like, it's they're obnoxious of how violent they are with their dirt bikes.
But if you look at just lap times alone, the guy who won the race versus the guy in, say, for an outdoors, I don't know, 40th place or whatever.
Sure.
That 40th place guy would smoke most everyone at any local race.
Oh, yeah.
An absolute hero. But he's 10, 20% slower than first place. So that first place guy is putting 10, 20% more force on the clamps, more flex, more everything. So they need it to be stiffer. So the vast majority of people don't want it to be that stiff front to back. So that's one of the big reasons we made it adjustable with that link, so that the super fast guys can do that, and then the most normal people can just take it off or not run it.
Do you ever run into vet guys like me who've got an inflated ego? They're like, no, I want the stiffest. I push my bike harder than anybody. Give me the immovable clamp.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of everybody all over the place. And it doesn't really matter. If that's what they like, then go for it. Try it out with this link on there. If you like it that way, cool. If you don't, take it off.
Is there a way of doing like data acquisition on triple clamps the same way there would be for suspension, or am I just going down a wormhole that doesn't exist?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, we've done some, mostly for coming up with load cases and whatnot for our analysis. There's not a lot. I mean, you can put strain gauges on it and figure out how much things are flexing if they match your analysis program. There's no, aside from adding those links or something, there's not much tuning to be made from a stiffness perspective without re-machining a new clamp. And it's just one piece of the giant puzzle. So your front end, it's not just the clamp flexing. You've got the forks, the wheel, the spokes, tire, everything, bars. So it's really just a the rider's just on like a big black box, and they're connected to the grips, the foot pegs, the seat to an extent, and then the tires where they hit the ground. Everything else in between is just a bunch of different springs, all with different stiffnesses and different directions. So it's you can't just like isolate the clamps. Mm-hmm. You have to, from our perspective, to design things. But when you're looking at a bike, you're really looking at the whole package of what you're riding. So like, forks alone can be huge. So people switching from a stock fork to, like, if you go extreme, but like a WP 52 millimeter, which is not really unobtainium, but it's, you can get that. But that would be an extreme
stiffness change.
We know what that stiffness chain is because we've done the analysis on those forks versus a standard fork, 49 millimeter, 48 millimeter tubes. What does the change in upper tube do? So that's a big part of the stiffness puzzle. So we've done a lot of analysis on those pieces that we don't even make, just so we can understand what they're doing to the whole puzzle. Clamps are a big part of it, just because it's the front wheel is cantilevered off from the triple clamp so far. A little bit of flex in the clamp means a lot of movement at the wheel, which is what the rider's going to feel.
Right, exactly. And honestly, like, for anyone who's sort of like has some questions, they've gotten this far on the podcast and they still want to know more. I know you have the Luxon MX isn't just a website where you can go shop for stuff. You have some of the most informative blog posts that I've seen, any like hard parts, manufacturer have on there, basically like an extended version of an FAQs. What would you say is the most common, like, it's either misconception about triple clamps, and your products in general, or, and just like the sort of misuse as far as like, improperly torquing bolts, or like, what is it that people screw up on the most, like a guy like me, if you send me a set of clamps, what am I screwing up? More than like,
there's a lot of answers in different directions to those questions, but, as far as like, what are you likely to screw up is, just the installation procedure. Yep. And I think a lot of riders feel that just because they bought something, they should also be able to install it and put it all together themselves, regardless of their mechanical know-how.
Right. Or the tools to do so.
Yeah. Whereas if you got a new transmission for your Honda Accord or something, you're probably not going to install it yourself. You have a mechanic do it.
Yeah.
It's just that because this is our hobby, this is what we do, we feel like we should be able to do all the installation, which a lot of people can and no problem, but there's a good chunk of people who think they can and they really can't, and that can lead to problems.
Yeah.
So we try and mitigate that with really good instructions that really define everything that needs to be there as to what you're doing, torque specs, bolt prep, surface prep. But there's only so much you can do, and someone is bound to screw it up one way or the other. I've gotten some really interesting calls where you're just kind of dumbfounded as to, well, how did you even pull that off?
Yeah, has anyone called you with they tried to install their steering stem bolt with like an all 16ths, the adjustable wrench?
I've had people complaining that they can't put the insert in a top triple clamp. Like they were saying, oh, this is going to be a massive press fit. There's no way this goes in here. And it, in my mind, I'm like, wow, did we screw something up on the machining? Like we check first part, last part, everything in between should be good, but something maybe slipped through somehow. Like I got to diagnose this over the phone. And come to find out, they had already had a different insert in there because the clamps come with two inserts. One of the inserts was already in there, so they're just trying to put an insert inside an insert, which they're both the same size, but they don't. It's like, how did you do that and not see what was going on?
Yeah, no, that's I just that is. I don't think that the Luxon MX allow for double penetration, but, hey, like, to each their own, I suppose. Yeah, not how you're going to do it, but it's not just triple clamps on the website. It's bar mounts. It's also linkage components. Tell me a little bit about the linkage components. That's something that is like sort of a growing portion of your business and something that probably a lot of people don't even know that you make.
Yeah. So we're really a chassis parts company.
Right.
Triple clamps are the biggest thing, obviously. And then linkages are another tuning tool. There's two main parts to linkage. There's the linkage arm and the linkage knuckle. The linkage arm, a lot of people are out buying lowering links and that sort of thing to lower the rear end. We don't sell a lowering link. What we sell, all of our linkage arms are adjustable in length. It's a tuning tool. And really, the longer you make it, the arm, the lower the rear gets. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is when you lower the rear, the front end rakes out. So the angle of the forks increases.
Right.
And so a lower rear end rakes out the forks, which gives you a little bit more stability, high speed. It's similar to increasing the offset, though not quite the same. So the linkage arm being adjustable, you can actually adjust it 1 millimeter shorter than stock, so you can actually bring the rake back in.
Okay.
You can adjust it to the stock length and then plus 1, 2, 3, and 4 millimeters longer. So there's six positions, one being stock. And basically, once it's not something you go out and buy when you first get a bike and you're making all these changes. You're going to get the bike to be as best handling as you can, like get your suspension done, basically wear out all the other options, figure out what triple clamp offset you like. And that's when it's time to play with the linkage arm length. Once you're satisfied and you think you're looking for just that little bit more. So then you change the rear end 1 millimeter and reset your sag, go out and ride it, and then change it again, repeat until you tune in what you'd like as far as the front end brake. So that's the linkage arm. It doesn't really do much for the motion ratio curve of the suspension. It does change it, but it's not much at all. The linkage knuckle, the other part of the linkage, that's where you can change the motion ratio dramatically. We have that for the KTM Husky gas bikes. And really, that's the only thing we have knuckle-wise that changes geometry. On the previous gen bikes, 2016 to 2022, that was a big seller. And we have one in development. I just finished it today, actually, for the 23 to 24 bikes. 24 and a half, 25 bikes are going to be basically the same thing. Excuse me. Same thing, but with a different bearing configuration, just because that's what came on the bike. The new bikes, different bearings. But in general, we're trying to soften up the curve down low and then make it more progressive at the end, at least on the previous gen bike. And that allowed more hold up in the middle of the stroke. The bike still remained nice and flush at the beginning of the stroke, but then the ramp up at the end really helps the bottoming resistance. And with that, you can change the valving up to a better configuration without getting the mud there too much. But basically, that linkage knuckle made a big difference in the handling of the bike for the positive. Currently on our third version of that for that chassis. The new chassis that came out, we just finished that knuckle. That'll be available soon. That one's a little unique because you don't need any spring rate changes or even valving changes. You can just bolt it on the bike, check your sag, and go ride, and it's better. Similar change overall to motion ratio, except the front end. So the front part of the curve stays about the same, but then it ramps up more in the end, so you get more hold up on the rear end, and then the bottoming resistance goes up too.
Okay, so you're able to achieve maybe a plusher feel on smaller stuff than on bigger things. You're not bottoming out.
Yeah. So whereas you're making some compromises previously to keep from bottoming and holding the rear end up, which affects the whole stroke.
Right.
You have to make those same compromises and you end up with a better overall ride pull.
Right, because obviously, especially for a guy like myself, like weekend warrior, the stiffer my bike is, from a suspension side of things, like the way the bike feels, the more it's going to beat you up. Like, I get arm pump in three laps regardless, but yeah, like with some adjustments, maybe I get arm pump lap four is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, the knuckle really is more rear end stuff, so it's really noticeable coming out of a corner and acceleration chop.
Okay.
You're able to tune around it so the bike really sticks to the ground rather than bouncing around.
Yeah.
So it's a really big improvement, and we've done it in a way that no one else has, in that you can buy the knuckle and put it on the bike and go ride. You don't need the linkage arm at all. It works with a stock length arm. It doesn't change the ride height, just makes a better curve. So we haven't finalized the price, but it's going to be $200-something. Compare that to anybody else who's selling a full linkage kit at $400, $500, $600. We're way ahead of them. So that's a pretty exciting improvement. For a low cost, you get a lot of performance. Of course, you can combine that with our linkage arm for the adjustability, like we discussed with the brake angle, but it's not necessary. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. We do have a linkage knuckle for Yamaha. It does nothing for geometry changes. It's identical to stock. It's just a lot lighter. That was something we developed for Club MX to shed some weight from the bikes.
There you go. Yeah, a little bit lighter. The bike everyone wants to be closer to the weight limit. Does having something that's lighter that low down, does that, like, obviously it wouldn't be a huge weight savings, but does that affect like the center of gravity in any type of way?
Yeah, I mean, changing any weight anywhere is going to affect the center of gravity. So how much you're going to notice it. I mean, there's a lot. It's not just where the center of gravity is. It's how spread apart the mass is from the center of gravity. So the more you can centralize the mass, the better, the more flippable and lighter the bike feels. The center of gravity location and how centralized it is all irrelevant when you're talking about accelerating or braking. Say, coming in the corner, you got to slow down that mass no matter where it is.
Right.
So just getting a lighter bike is always beneficial.
Right.
From that perspective. There are areas where you want to save weight more than others, like wheels are a huge place because it's rotational. It's also unsprung. There's way more benefits to getting a lighter weight tire than there is to getting lighter weight foot pegs.
Fair enough. Or like lighter weight wheels. I know Wheels, they're a huge sponsor of us, and I've from the people that I've ran them, people that I've known that have ran them, it's like they're stronger, but it's almost like a night and day feel as far as like just the way the bike feels coming into corners, especially honestly weirdly jumping for me, like the bike feels a lot more free. I don't know if compared to a stock set of wheels, what am I feeling there?
Depends on which stock set of wheels you're relating to. The Austrian stuff, the stock stuff is really light.
Mm-hmm.
Spokes are really light too. And that causes a lot of problems for people. Spokes loosening them up, braking.
Yeah. I had 11 brake in the same lap.
That's a pain point on the Austrian bikes, especially. So if you're comparing that on an Austrian bike, you're not really feeling weight so much because you've almost certainly gotten heavier.
Okay.
But you're probably feeling stiffness more than anything because being that it's a heavier gauge spoke, more durable rim, that it's also going to be a lot stiffer. And that, like I said earlier, can be a good thing, not necessarily bad. Where you're stiffening things up in a way where you're getting more predictability, better feedback to the front wheel, that sort of thing. If we're talking about a weight perspective, one of the best ways to shave a lot of weight, unsprung and rotational, is just tires.
Okay.
I haven't weighed one of the newer Dunlops, but I know their old stuff was really heavy compared to, say, a Pirelli or a Michelin or Hoosier.
Okay, really?
And we're talking like pounds.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, I don't recall off the top of my head exact numbers, but I want to say like a pound and a pound and a half. So pound on the front wheel, pound and a half on the rear wheel. And that's
Yeah, huge. And that's significant. That's spinning mass as far away from the center of gravity as you can basically be on the motorcycle.
Yeah, so like my bikes right now, my my 350, I'm running Pirellis, and then my 150, I have Michelins on it. Super light tires, still
interesting
really good performance. It's huge.
That's really cool. The last thing I wanted to ask you about was the bar mounts, because I think that's maybe one of your best sellers. Obviously it's the lowest ticket item on the shelf, but they make a big difference. I know, we hooked up a local young rider with a set, recently, and he's had good feedback. Tell me a little bit about the bar mounts before I let you get back to more important things.
Yeah. So the bar mounts, were developed. In conjunction with the Gen 3 clamps. So the interface for the Gen 3 clamps is actually almost identical to an X-Trig interface, so much so that you can buy X-Trig bar mounts and put them on our triple clamps, or you can use our new bar mounts on X-Trig triple clamps. And we didn't do that simply to copy X-Trig. It's because there's really only so many ways you can achieve that many bar positions in a triple clamp, and really it's just a threaded hole on the top of the clamp, or three in our case, three threaded holes. And there was no point in making something proprietary to our stuff just to be proprietary. I feel like there's enough of that everywhere. So why not just make it the same, and then we can leverage the aftermarket, who's making, say, steering damper mounts that fit an extra angle, well, now those also fit ours. Or if somebody's really tied to an X-Trig bar mount, sure, run it on our clamps. So we did copy it, just to copy and be lazy. We intentionally copied it to kind of give people more options. And there's no reason to make something proprietary. So with that said, we came up with our own style of bar mount. We looked at the X-Trig bar mount. A lot of people like the stuff. But there's a lot of shortcomings to them as well. They raise the bars up more than what stock would be. They're heavy, big, and bulky. One of the design goals of our bar mounts, the rubber-mounted ones at least, was to get a lower profile mount that then you could raise up with risers should you want them higher, instead of being forced to be higher. Have adjustability in the feel and the flex of the bar mounts through the rubber dampers. Lightweight, low profile. That's what we did. So we ended up with a four-post style bar mount, like the old RG3 clamps. They used to have four posts. People really liked those back in the day. We basically designed a bar mount that was similar to that, but uses the bolt-on triple clamp interface. So you're not stuck with just a couple bar positions. You have all 24 positions. Super light. They're lighter than stock. They're much lighter than X-Trig stock. Really good feedback on them so far. They include three different rubber bushings sets, so soft, medium, hard. You can even mix and match those should you want, like running hard bottoms and medium tops. So there's quite a few possibilities there. And really, I don't know of anybody else who allows a position that's lower than stock on bar mounts. So, like, say, our KTM triple clamps with our bar mounts, you can run 4 millimeters lower than what they would be stock if you want.
Oh, wow. That's significant. That's actually quite the distance as far as bar mounts considered.
Yeah. And then put the riser kit on, you can run them basically stock height or plus 10, plus 15. Really want to go nuts, you can go really high with some extra long bolts and lots of spacers, but don't really recommend that. But basically, the options are all there. So that's those bar mounts, in particular for our clamps. We offer those same bar mounts, but to fit most OEM stock triple clamps as well. So all the pieces are the same except for the base portion that actually interfaces with the clamp. So we have those available for Yamaha, both the four-stroke rubber cone style and the two-stroke clamps. We have them for Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki, KTM Husky Gas Gas, again, both the rubber mounted style and the direct bolt-on style, Starkbar, Beta, and a few more in the works. But most bikes for right now, they're all the same general four post design, all the same bushings. Those are all available on our website. Pretty big sellers, especially for the bikes that don't have rubber mounted clamps to begin with.
Yeah.
So the Yamaha two strokes, Beta, and the most of the off-road KTM Husky gas that are direct mount to the clamps.
Hmm.
So it's big for reducing vibration and shock and all those.
Yeah, and that's huge, especially with how like more popular off-road riding has gotten. People riding longer, the vibration can be deterrent, but it can definitely like make the ride a whole lot more difficult than it is otherwise. So if people have more questions, they can go to the website. Like I said, the blog posts are super informative. They can also they can contact the shop, but for the most part, like if they haven't scoured the website to find an answer first, like that's almost the best place to go, right?
Absolutely. I mean, people call quite a bit without having looked at the website, and really most of all the questions are already answered there. Also with pictures and charts and things that are hard to explain over the phone because you can't draw a picture over the phone.
Right. Because it would just be me sitting in my garage, probably pissed. probably like beside myself trying to fit the fitting inside the fitting, like we talked about earlier. I'd be like the two inserts on top of each other. That's a million times more difficult for you to diagnose than just going on and people kind of learning from themselves, because you've provided a lot of information there.
And as far as that goes, there's instructions on the website for most all of our products, except for the stuff that's very obvious to how to install it. But triple clamps, bar mounts, all those instructions are there with exploded view diagrams and basically everything you need to know. I'm not against answering the phone. If people can't find what they need on the website, then absolutely give me a call or shoot me an email, and we'll get back to you as quick as we can with an answer.
Fair enough. Last question I have for you. I notice for those who are going to watch this on YouTube, they see this beautiful set of gold triple clamps behind you. I know you do a ton of different anodizing and stuff like that. What's the most popular color that rolls out of the offices over at Luxon?
We have all of our stock colors. So Cowie, green, Honda, red, KTM, orange, Yamaha, blue, all that stuff. That's normal. Mm-hmm. Routine anodized for us. We do have some custom stuff. So like gold, this set just came back a few minutes ago from the anodizer.
Yeah.
Pink, which Club MX ran last weekend for the St. Jude's race, Supercross. We do a lot of purple right now, mostly for Yamaha because of the 50th anniversary bikes. So that's probably been the most popular lately. Club MX turquoise color. It's fairly popular. All that stuff that I've mentioned just recently here, that's all special order stuff, so we can do it. Generally, it's an upcharge because we're not running the anodized lot otherwise. So you basically have to cover the anodized lot. But we can do most any color you need.
Killer. Well, head to luxonmx.com. Find out what you need. Place your order. And, they use Big MX Radio 2024. Big MX 2024 is the code to save. Save yourself some money on a set of triple clamps. It's literally just me handing you $100 to go buy the set of clamps. Like, go man, go. That would be sick. And would love to hear from some of my loyal listeners. Not only getting some good feedback of being able to enjoy their ride just that much more, but also have your bike look that much cooler. Because like, as much as like the there's people that they want the bike to feel cool. That like, this is a visual sport. Yes, no.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to look and feel cool.
Hell yeah!
A lot of people kind of talk down to others who have bought stuff and made their bike all blingy and fancy. But so what?
Whatever.
That's what they wanted to do.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Go away.
I'm happy to go for it.
Yeah, like I didn't use your money for it. I used mine.
But if you can improve at the same time, then even better.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for making some time for the Big MX Radio podcast. Thanks for supporting us 2 years in a row now. Looking forward to the next time we chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right on. Thanks, Billy.
Thanks.
kids up to grown man. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Pit bikes and rowdy fans play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30 second card's on its side.
It's time to get it.
Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling.